Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Spurs won the match of the century. Liverpool will be licking their lips, and Cardiff have given themselves hope. To dare is to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back, and it's lovely to have Jim, Luke, and Pete with Team Ramble.
Hello.
Evening.
How are you doing, Marcus?
Cracking, champion.
Cracking.
Spurs didn't win the match of the century. They lost it.
Wanker.
Yeah. They went through an aggregate, didn't they?
So that's true.
An early error, but that's okay.
Yeah,
we're so pleased to have you back. We'll gloss over it. And I can see you thinking about how you're going to get out of this, and I'm not going to let you do it.
So Manchester City won the match of the century. Well done, Man City!
They'll be celebrating on the streets still, I expect. Famous 4-3 win.
How much consolation will they take from that, Luke?
I found it hard to even keep track of who was going through and who wasn't, to be honest.
What a game.
What a bloody... this weekend... Man City v Spurs, so soon after the last one.
This is going to be so strange. I'm sure we'll come on to that after.
If Man City win that, do they take the title back and get to go through?
It's like a title belt.
Yeah.
In the words of a now extradited man, it was extraordinary.
Julian Assange.
We got that.
Julian Assange, he's very much still here.
He will be.
It was one of the most ridiculous games I think I've ever seen. The first game in a very long time that when Sterling, in quotes, scored.
Mm-hmm. His first goal or his last goal?
No, in quotes, scored.
Right. The goal
not his actual
stand.
Goal.
Okay, of course.
I was like, wow, that's amazing. What a finish. Yeah. What a amazing piece of composure and skill and settling of a tie that is.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And it's a testament to the season he's had and how much he's improved. And my mind closed off then. Right, that's the end of that. Done. And then it dragged me back in.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it. And the VAR situation just overloaded me with more information that I almost couldn't
cope
with.
It's like watching an Avengers film and there's always like a post-credits.
At the end of the credits.
Going, how are they going to fit? Is it Howard the Duck or Ed the Duck? I always forget which one.
Howard the Duck.
Howard
Ed the Duck was in the broom cupboard with now hench Andy Peters.
Why wasn't Ed the Duck? No, it wasn't Ed the Duck, Andy Crane. Gordon
you might be right,
was,
actually. Yes. Oh,
no, Gordon the Gopher was Philip Schofield.
Yeah.
Jim Where was close. At
Wilson the Butler?
Well, I don't know where that's coming from. Dizzy Heights Hotel. What? But anyway.
Damn Duck Killer. An
incredible game. And I think what we should say, and I'm sure we will, but allow me to be the first. I mean, what an effort from Spurs. I mean, on paper, that's a mismatch for a series of reasons.
Yeah.
One, because I know it to be the case that in January, and I haven't seen it since, but in January, only Man United had more injuries than them throughout the season. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they've overtaken United. They had a couple of key players out. They essentially had no serious midfielders in that position. And then the one they did have in Sissoko had to go off injured anyway.
Got a yellow.
Man City's team cost about 350 million. Spurs cost 40 or something like that.
Mm.
It should have been a total mismatch, yet they were able to get involved in a thing that everyone who pretends, myself included, to know anything about football, had thought they shouldn't do, which is getting a straight shootout with Man City. And what they should have tried and do is keep it tight, of course, and then try and target them late on and hit them on the break.
I think, Pochettino's canny enough to know, though, that that's not going to work. You know, if you sit back and invite City on, they will pull you apart.
And especially if they get a goal really, really early, you're sort of like, they just try and sit on that for the rest of the... I mean, obviously they couldn't, they had to go on and score another one, but away goals, man.
To have four goals in essentially just under 7 minutes.
Incredible.
In a big
good
Champions
goal,
League tie. It's just insane, it's absolutely insane.
If you look at the benches, when Man City are looking for the benches, John Stones obviously could have come on centre-half, but probably not needed. Leroy Sané, Fernandinho, Riyad Mahrez, Otamendi, Gabriel Jesus. When you read out the Spurs bench, or when the commentator did, when they were, they lost Sissoko early on for Granite Ledge. You've got Davinson Sanchez, Carl Walker-Peters, Llorente came on, of course, Juan Foyth, Paolo Gazzaniga.
He's a goalkeeper. Yeah. Gazzaniga, yeah.
Gazzaniga, sorry. Ben Davis, Oliver Skip. That shows you. Yeah. If you look at the benches, I know the first 11s are not that far apart, but Man City's is better.
Should Wanyama be anywhere near that squad?
Well, he hasn't hardly played, yeah. And Marcus, you know, you say about John Stones, he probably wasn't needed. Did you see Aymeric Laporte?
Yeah.
Because he did a pretty good impression of someone who might well be needed to be replaced at some point.
That's true, isn't it?
Even though he's had a good season.
But it's a remarkable achievement from Spurs. The debate goes straight to VAR, doesn't it? And for me, it's a head versus heart situation because the right calls were made. I think anybody who thinks that Llorente goal shouldn't have stood is being a bit silly. He did flick his arm. I'll have that. But
it's certainly not clear enough.
Exactly. If that's given as a penalty and whatnot, I'm not.
UEFA guidelines say it isn't a penalty.
Yeah. So for me, that's a goal all day long. And then the Aguero one, I mean, the talk about margins of football, it was centimetres, not even inches. But just to finish, Jim, sorry, the point for VAR is head versus heart for me because the head says both calls were correct and the right outcome was made. But the heart says, is that what we're going to have in football now?
Yeah, last minute goals. Like
is it, if this sets a precedent and this becomes the norm, a team's going to score and everyone goes, hang on, let's just wait a moment for the celebration. All right, now we can celebrate. It's looks awful. But the right team went through because of VAR.
It's a tacit endorsement of the fact that most football is consumed outside of the stadium and fuck the people who are actually in there, to be honest, in my opinion. I think VAR's a poor solution, inelegant solution. To the situation.
Yeah, Marcus, you tap into something really interesting, which is that it's what you pride. It's hard to solve it. If it is a problem to be solved, it's kind of hard to solve it because it depends on the individual's interpretation of what football is to that way.
And there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah. So if you I suppose people would say, well, the right answer is simply the rules must be respected and the laws must be correct.
Well, I think people are backtracking on that.
Sure, and I think for me. I don't particularly. I feel like the game should be refereed by humans. And I know it is humans, but at the moment it's humans with technology that otherwise wouldn't be available. And to me, it just feels a little bit of a shame. But that incident last night with Sterling at the end was the first time where VAR, I thought, genuinely added to the drama rather than sort of detracted
from it.
As
Pete says, though, you're not in the stadium. You're not a Man City fan.
If I was in the stadium as a Spurs fan, I would have found it more dramatic.
I mean, Spurs fans will be delighted about VAR this morning, but they probably would have been calling for it if it hadn't been there, and perhaps Llorente's goal had been disallowed, and Sterling's hadn't stood. But I think what needs to happen, because obviously VAR is here now, we're going to have it, is that the rules need to be sort of tweaked to account for it. Because I think we've spoken about this before, but it was really clear yesterday, like the offside decision at the end. Aguero's advantage is so tiny there. I feel like the whole attacker,
I know what you mean,
should be ahead of the whole defender to be offside.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing this a lot. And there was a Lukaku goal earlier in the season. It was ridiculous. I think it was ruled out. And
there's been instances this season where a striker's toe has been offside.
Well, you could legitimately sort of say, if you're going to get that granular about it, better football strikers should have size 5 shoes. Size five, they should bind their feet.
To give us a lesser chance of being offside.
We've
said this consistently since the start of this. Yeah. We've said, and I repeatedly said, to the point where I've had the piss taken at me online, so I know I fucking said it, that the laws of the game as they exist are not conducive to an implementation of VAR. That's the fact, in my opinion. Is it a fact in my opinion? It's a fact.
If it's your opinion, it becomes fact.
Because so many of the laws are open to a referee's interpretation. Yeah. And one referee may interpret a law a different way to another referee, depending on the game. Go back and listen to the Ramble Meets with Howard Webb. He would say he would referee different games differently because that's what the situation dictated.
I don't necessarily...
And finally, just quickly, Pete, what you've alluded to there, I just want to go a bit further and endorse your opinion. There's no need for assistant referees then.
Yeah.
Because if everything's going to be done by VAR anyway, you don't need a linesman running up and down, not keeping up a play, raising the flag. You don't need it.
But the idea isn't going to be that everything is it?
What do you mean?
There's always going to be a need
There will be, in 5 years' time, a pretty robust system that automatically checks offsides.
Yes.
It's also a real-time solution at working out skeletal...
with little sensors or whatever.
Sensors. The algorithms can just figure out what arm's in what position and where's what.
Put the computers inside the players.
Put the computers inside the players.
Like, in a space.
Up their bums.
Referee in inner space.
Mainly players that I don't like. But when you are talking about such small margins, you are talking about Peter Crouch's feet... Much bigger than Aguero's feet, for example.
Adebayor, so I think, famously had big feet. Kanu had massive feet.
Yeah.
Are we all agreed that Christian Eriksen is enjoying VAR today?
Oh, God.
My goodness. When I saw
what was he doing?
I thought to myself, I was like, Christian, what are you playing? Just hook that, get that, it up the line, learn like from Victor Wanyama there, yeah. Crying out loud, what are you doing?
Wanyama had two men up when he whacked out.
Victor Wanyama, Victor Wanyama was, to be fair to him, hasn't played an awful lot of football. He's found it difficult. It looks like he's, you know, the best part of his career is behind him, sadly, for a relatively young man. I mean, he's only 27, for goodness sake.
Bloody hell.
But he was chucked in the deep end there big time. Yeah. I think he was like, blimey, the intensity of this. I'm just swinging. It does, to be honest, it doesn't even have to be a leg. I'm swinging any limit this.
The funny thing, what he could have done was actually, he didn't hit it that far. What you want to do if you're going to put it out of play is hit it not with that much pace. You want it to kind of roll
because
out.
Of the multi-ball system. Because of the multi-ball system as well. As soon as it crosses the
bang,
line.
Someone's chucking the ball back in.
Can I put something out? This might be a terrible take. And I tweeted it last night. Curious to know your guys' take on it.
The kits.
Do you think the kits, the blending of the kits, contributed to the mayhem that we saw in the first 15, 20
minutes? I wondered
about
that, because if you look at them side by side, clearly they're very different, but there was something about it en masse, perhaps because Spurs' kit is green, so obviously you've got the pitch to contend with as well. Yeah. It did look a bit weird, and I wondered that myself.
I don't think it did.
You don't?
I just don't see how it would.
At the pace they're playing, at the split decisions they have to make, and I wonder if even if it's subconsciously, it just imparted a bit of confusion upon the player and their processes.
It just means you've got to look at like shorts and socks more, isn't it? The thing that I always get, well, I'll use an example, a terrible example, and I hate it when we bring it down to flipping Sunday League, where it's like when people who are wearing like yellow t-shirts or yellow shirts, like an Arsenal away kit from back in the day, they refuse to put a tabard on, they refuse to put a bib on because they think, oh, it's yellow enough. And it's not yellow enough.
No,
I still get confused. I'm like, they haven't got that bright green, exact same colour as everybody else on the team.
This is the first time in the history of knowing you, and that hopefully my esteemed friends and colleagues around the table agree that you have essentially implied. You've implied that if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing properly.
Yeah.
Because normally you are just back of a fag packet, spit and sawdust. That'll do. And so, but you're saying
not when it comes to wires. He loves his wires.
True, love his wires.
True, yeah.
He does love his wires. But I mean, Guardiola was gutted about the handball.
He was quite magnanimous. Apart from that,
he was. To be fair to him,
not the headline, though, is it?
It isn't the headline, Jim, and nor should it be. Jonathan Wilson wrote a very good piece in the Guardian, and may well talk about this on the mailbag out on Saturday, as well, about Guardiola failing to reach the semi-finals and the final since Barcelona, really. Mm. And
his away record is very, very problematic.
It is, yeah. And he'll be thinking to himself today, my goodness, again, centimetres. Or maybe just one centimetre looking at the phone. And it's, for me, I just thought this was such a great game and it was such a back and forth. Well, in fact, it wasn't even back and forth. Man City were in charge.
But I just think it's indicative of a team that's never really faced many teams that have really gone at them. On Spurs' side as well, teams at the top of the league can't really defend. And once they get up in the Champions League, like the semi-final,
Liverpool can defend.
But I just sort of think that Liverpool are probably one of the exceptions. But a lot of the teams that find themselves in the Champions League are surprised at how attacking teams kind of go at them. And they find themselves wanting at the back. And I think that this was a really good example of two teams who... teams don't go at them quite as much in the Premier League, so they don't have to work quite as hard on the defensive organisation, so that they're leaking goals in left, right, and centre. It was a bit of a mess at the back.
Jonathan said that, like, at one point in the Premier League, a penny dropped, and teams who were not expected to win games against big teams just decided to let the other team have the ball and then just dig in. I thought with the personnel they had missing, I thought Spurs might try and do that last night. But the game just... But the problem is, if we're all sitting around here, whether we're experts in it or not, the reality is... Okay, even if we're not, but even if we were, there were three goals in 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So your tactics out the window then. I know it sounds like an old-fashioned kind of, get up at them kind of attitude, but really, you can plan all week for your tactics and how you're going to implement them. If you find that after 21 minutes it's 3-2 and the whole thing's gone mad, you have to really dig in and realise. I was sort of surprised, maybe they weren't, didn't feel they were able to, but I was sort of surprised how little Spurs tried to slow the game down.
Because
it was in their advantage to have as slow a game as possible, because Man City had to make all the running.
It was in Danny Rose's
interest. I thought that's what Sissoko might be doing, actually, until he actually went off. I thought that might be...
I feel like the chaos of the game actually suited Spurs, though, because it really felt like that Llorente's goal was in them, even when City went ahead.
Well, it was a real leveler, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I think... part of the reason that happens is we see it so often in the latter stages of the Champions League. If when you know sometimes you get massive teams thrashing other massive teams in ways you wouldn't expect, like when Bayern Munich just annihilated Barcelona and nobody saw that coming. I think the huge occasion adds so much to it, and that was a perfect example of it tonight.
Absolutely right. And whenever there are a huge group of human beings involved, things can change.
You're very talented.
But also, yeah, the goal Spurs scored. The first one was a bit fortunate, the way it dropped to Sun. Excuse me, he puts it in. Then the second one, again, it was a defensive error from Laporte, was it, who got caught in possession. And then after Spurs scored those two goals, normality began to resume, and then Man City eventually went 4-2 and should have really seen the game out. Mm. Spurs weren't offering that much.
One of Man City's goals was very fortunate as well, a deflection that gave the keeper no chance.
That was a bit, yeah.
But Llorente's winner, effective.
Yeah, no,
winner.
Well, it was
that
a winner.
Was fortunate as well.
It was fortunate, but it was sort of bundled in.
It was a crazy game.
But the good news for Man City is they can still win a domestic treble.
True.
Yeah. But well, no, domestic you, quad. But because they've got
the Community Shield. Do you think that this is a type of game that whatever you want to do, it's just beyond analysis, really?
I think it's one of those games.
Mm. Spurs are now 9-2, joint third favourites for the Champions League. I mean, there's only four teams left in it, but £10 with Bet365 returns £55, including stake. Credit to them. It's their first semi-final in this competition.
Yep.
I think whatever comes now, and they've got a chance against Ajax, by the way.
They do. And
it's a real achievement.
Surely that game will have goals. I know, as if we need any more goals, but my goodness, two very exciting attacking sides.
Son, I think, is suspended for the first leg.
Sadly,
Kane's going to probably still be out. Well, in fact, he will be still out.
Llorente's the man.
If they do this.
Even though he looked knackered and he was a sub.
Yeah, I know. There was talk. Jermaine Gears was laughing. They should take him off. Yeah. You don't just come on. You know, there was someone who said, you've got to respect what they've achieved.
It's enormous.
Even if they don't go any further than the semi-final.
From where they were in the league position, they were like, what was 1 point? And everyone was on like 6 and 9.
In the group stage. Exactly, yeah.
This game at the weekend is going to be fascinating.
This
has to be this has the potential to be like the most psychologically odd Premier League game that has ever happened.
Yeah.
It's going to be so interesting to see how both teams approach it.
Spurs could really put the kibosh on Man City's whole season.
They won't. None of this will happen. Man City will batter them.
We don't know this, do we? But it's as if the Premier League title race has sort of seeped into the Champions League because it's so tight.
I know what you mean, oddly. Liverpool and Man City were racing towards the final, you can analyse it so many ways. Is it good that for Liverpool that Man City are out, a bit demoralised, or is it bad because now they think, right, the league is the main thing? I'll tell you one thing, after all this talk of the quadruple, and it wasn't Guardiola who was saying that, Man City fans were not having a go at him.
Apparently privately he was, but he's not publicly.
But, you know, considering all the money and blah, 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 and all that bollocks, it would be hilarious for the neutral if all they won this season was the Carabao.
It really would.
And the Community Shield. Stop being disrespectful.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Waldy in the bag.
Well, that's a double, according to Jose Mourinho.
To me, City win that game easily on Saturday.
Well,
Spurs have got literally no midfield players.
Well, so we've come on to Liverpool in just a sec. But Man City, their remaining fixtures, obviously Spurs and then Manchester United away, Burnley away, Leicester at home, Brighton away. It's a little bit tougher because Liverpool came through that sort of Spurs and Chelsea.
Yes,
double.
Did.
So they're through there.
They did.
But Liverpool, if we could move on to them, I think we're done with that game. Yeah. We could do the rest of the show on that game. But they're away to Cardiff. Of course, Cardiff have given themselves a great chance. But Liverpool, the way they comfortably beat Porto after being pretty much under siege for the first...
And he rested a couple as well.
He did indeed. They win 6-1 on aggregate.
Yeah.
Which I know Porto is a more favourable draw than Spurs. But I mean, Spurs is still a good side, for crying out loud.
Anyone that's there at this point is good.
But the way Liverpool did that, they didn't break too much of a sweat. Mm-hmm. Again, they're just going about their business. Now, away to Cardiff, they should win the game. Cardiff will have their tails up, relatively speaking, after that crucial win against Brighton. Mm. But their remaining fixtures, obviously Cardiff away, Huddersfield at home, Newcastle away, with ex-Liverpool manager Rafa Benitez in charge. I think that might be relevant. Who knows? And then Wolves at home. You've got to say that Liverpool surely are looking at 12 points there. Mm.
But... it's in Man City's hands.
It is in Man City's hands.
Do you
know which game I'm looking at?
Old Trafford.
Burnley away.
I
don't know. I've got a feeling about Burnley away for Man City.
City win easily against Spurs this weekend, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I think there will be righteous vengeance delivered to every team that dares to line up against Man City for the rest of the season.
They're going to Old Trafford though, right? And what an interesting game that is again, because you know Man United obviously will want to dent City's title hopes, but no, in doing so they could hand the title to Liverpool.
I tell you something, that's the point, Jim. All the Man United fans I know, and there's a handful of them, they'd all rather Man
down
City.
The supporters club.
Absolutely.
Did you see Manchester United playing Barcelona?
They all would rather Man City won the league than Liverpool.
It's better now, than ever, you know, isn't it?
Of course, that atmosphere may filter around the stadium, but Solskjaer knows that if he's talking about a rebuilding job, we'll come on to Man United in the second half. They're obviously away at Everton. If they need to rebuild, they need to do all these things after Barcelona, they've got to qualify for the Champions League.
Mm. Am I the only one around this table who thinks that Man United haven't played well for about a month and a half?
No, we will talk about Man United second half.
City for me are going to be absolutely few. I wouldn't be surprised if they've done about 9 hours of training already today.
So Liverpool, yeah, they've got a great win and they're playing Cardiff. Now, Cardiff, if we can drag ourselves away for a moment from the Champions League and the title race, Cardiff, a massive win away to Brighton this week, which has kept them alive. Yeah. And I feared for Cardiff because I thought. Oh, we saw Bournemouth dispatch Brighton 5-0. But after that Chelsea game, the way Warnock stood there, crestfallen, I thought, is that the moment? And it could well be. Cardiff could still go down, of course. But to pick your players up from that is very, very difficult because they were harshly done by so bad. We could have done with a bit of VAR there.
I think Warnock's done an incredible job.
But to get that win away to Brighton.
To get them back in it because it compounded that defeat at home to Chelsea. You'd expect them to lose to Man City away. Mm-hmm. They didn't disgrace themselves.
No.
But then they lost out to Burnley, which was a winnable game. And then to rouse them again to beat Brighton, who look in a terrible state.
Oh, yeah, they really do.
Surely it would be between Brighton and Cardiff.
It is. It's got to be.
Hasenhüttl's got Southampton out of it.
But Cardiff have got two. I'll tell you, sorry, Jim. Cardiff, even if you don't expect them to win against Liverpool at home, they could pick up 6 points from the next two games because they're playing Fulham and then Crystal Palace. And even though Fulham are relegated and the shackles are off, they're still not looked any good. They'll be on 37 points. Mm-hmm. If you look at what Brighton are 2 points ahead of them.
Yeah.
And then next up, away to Wolves. Not sure there'll be anything for them there. Although Wolves do have slipped up against lesser teams.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got Spurs away. You can't expect them to win there. They've got Arsenal away. They've got Man City at home. And they've got Newcastle United at home. There could be a situation where if they win that game at home to Newcastle, they still go down because Cardiff will have one more point than them. Mm.
Well, it depends how much Cardiff can get because Cardiff, Liverpool at home, Manchester United away, they're the two ones, but Fulham away and Palace at home.
It will be an astonishing escape, wouldn't it?
It would be
probably one of Warnock's. To be honest, he never lasts this long. He's usually gone by December in the Premier League anyway. But like,
would Warnock call it a Rexit relegation escape?
I know he says a lot of stuff all the time, and the less said about that, the better. But didn't the Warlock say that if he kept him in the Premier League, he'd be his greatest ever achievement?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that would be.
I'd agree with it. I mean, getting Cardiff promoted on that shoestring budget, surrounded by Wolves and obviously Fulham were great, and you know the likes of Villa and so on.
I think
it'd be remarkable.
There's a thing people are forgetting about though is Cardiff could possibly face a points deduction because of that kit, that away kit. It looks like a tabard actually, like a sort of horrific lime green tabard.
Imagine that if it was a weird points deduction. Did it again
based on
when he was Sheffield United manager.
kits are kind of going in a weird direction at the moment, it feels to me.
That one is particularly bad, right? I'm not alone in thinking that. Actually, Arsenal's mint green abomination we'll come on to as well. But
a few of my friends who support Arsenal, I've heard recently, I don't know why, probably because Ian Wright's been wearing it on Instagram, but they're saying we've got to go back to the bruised banana.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Because Arsenal are changing kit supplies for next season.
Yeah, we're back to Adidas. I think the green kit is a parting shot from Puma.
Yeah, it's an easy win for Adidas to go back to the bruised banana. But Cardiff are 1-3 to be relegated this season. £10 with Bet365 returns £13.33, including stake. And I also should say, just to follow up on what we were talking about earlier with who's going to win the title, Bet365 make Man City the favourites. Liverpool are, in fact, the second favourites, 11-10 with Bet365. £10 returns £21, including stake. Clearly because it's in Man City's hands.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It is, Peter. It is. And the emails are in PED's hands.
They are in my hands. Let me just press the button.
Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees!
You've got mail.
Bad beat.
I've got mails in my email box, and they want to say a few things. Hello to Joe. I expect you will receive a number of corrective emails on this subject. We didn't, to be quite frank. In episode 11 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, Luke describes Vialli's energetic nature as being the proton to Ravanelli's nucleus. The proton is part of the nucleus. It's the electron that buzzes around.
Oh, sorry. That is basic.
In that sense, it would have been a good and humorous analogy had it not been wrong.
What's the name of that guy?
Joe.
I'd like to be his friend. and yeah. subscribe to his newsletter, because that kind of pedantry is right up my yeah. street.
Can I make a correction?
Yeah.
As I was, we were just flying just past Bermuda, I think it was. I was listening to the ramble. You said about Paul Lambert scoring a lovely dink goal.
Yes. Right, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Owen Coyle.
It was Owen Coyle.
It was. Oh,
that's what I couldn't
yes.
remember. I was racking my brains.
Those two guys.
All white Scottish men don't look the same.
Yeah. Peter.
Who's the fellow who had sex next to the BMW?
Paul Jewell.
Paul Jewell. Not Scottish. Yeah, but I get those three mixed up. Just big men, solid men.
What did you say, Jim?
It was Arnie, wasn't it? The BMW.
Yeah. And the bonnet.
And Paul Lambert's not a big Scottish man. He's a small Scottish man.
Yeah.
He's what like your think I said?
But they're so chunky.
Chunky, okay.
Yeah. Speaking of
get the emails back.
Carry on,
Petey. He was having it on the bonnet, wasn't he?
Hey!
Hello to David Lieb. Dr. David Lieb, a long-time listener, and I enjoy the show. I especially enjoy the eggs when I'm not listening to your podcast. Basically, he's a full-time researcher in herpes. I've been running a research lab for almost 30 years on the subject. Jim, the listener Jim, not Jim Campbell, is absolutely incorrect. It's not only children that are susceptible, adults are susceptible too. Infection in very young babies can be the most serious, but infection can happen any time in your life. How has this come to this? We are now
I've had enough of experts, I'll stick to my own view.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
In most people, the ones contracted the virus forges a lifelong relationship with you, hanging out in your nervous system forever. In most people, just under 75% of adults have it. The virus doesn't come back. It just hangs out quietly in your nerves. However, people get cold sores or sores in other places below the waist. It depends on the site of the original infection. It's often said that the difference between love and herpes is that herpes is forever.
To clarify, I am not one of the people that suffers from the latter.
Yeah, yeah. But you do have a tapeworm, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
But, thanks for the great show. Can I request to be the ramble-endorsed herpes specialist? David, you can indeed. Thank you so much. These people are so clever and intelligent, and they've dedicated their life to something more worthy than football chat. And
don't waste your time listening to this.
Don't waste your time listening to this.
Waste your time.
Yeah.
Again, Jim Lawrence, you've got a lot to answer for. You're letting Jim's down. There's a lot of bad ones. The Savile, Davidson,
I think Kevin, long time listener, first time emailer. I'm a 23-year-old who for the past 4 years has the luxury of country hopping while coaching football and acting as a personal trainer at holiday resorts, sport camps and cruise ships all over the world. What a job.
Amazing.
Looking magnificent and tanned and muscular.
All of our listeners on a cruise ship. Better jobs than us.
Can we get this on a cruise ship? Cruisers. But now on to Dildogate. My current job is in Australia as a youth sports coach. A quiet day. I was finished at 3. No other staff left on site. I confidently played the ramble on our Bluetooth surround sound speakers whilst having an after work snack. Little did I know, I was not alone. We had a Christian group on site using our facilities for a kids Easter program. We encourage all groups who use the grounds to fill in a feedback form as they leave. The next day, my boss brings me to the office, shows me the form. Great facility, but will not be returning due to vulgar comments made on the radio station not suitable for children.
That's our fault, really, isn't it?
Across the ocean, guys. I must have left the radio on by accident with the Aussies known for saying out their comments on the station, but yeah, it was actually me talking about a big black dildo. I thought it was quite tame, really. I was just describing the
it's white all relative.
I think it's more the subject matter, isn't it, rather than the execution.
If they know what a dildo is, then, you know, you've already failed in your job. Man. Afternoon, fellas. Whilst listening to your latest show, Pete brought up the River Plate fan who tattooed the QR code on his body.
Yeah.
That obviously diverts to a YouTube video of a couple of Libertadores match. And a football Twitter account found the exact video on YouTube, tweeted out the URL, and since then has reported the video for copyright infringement. So the video's no longer available. Now, I do not endorse that kind of behaviour.
Shame, petty.
Quite frankly.
It's petty.
Very, very petty. And finally for now, Sean Cornfoot says...
Sean Cornfoot?
Yeah.
Just wanted to check it.
There's a V at the end, but I think that was me control V-ing. So it's not Cornfoot. That would be a bit weird.
There's nothing weird about Cornfoot.
I'm clipping that. We'll find a Cornfoot specialist for you.
Yeah, if I say something and you hear like a bit of silence, it's because Pete's mentally clipping
it. If I was more admin friendly to my own self, I would have that clip.
Yeah.
I feel it is my civic duty to report a sighting of one Marcus Speller yesterday afternoon.
Right, yeah.
Imagine my surprise following a long haul flight from Japan. I spotted the acclaimed Football Ramble host.
Acclaimed.
Is the Football Ramble acclaimed or are you acclaimed there? I'm not really sure.
I think I'm in both.
Either or.
He was exiting Heathrow Airport with a large bag full of multicoloured sombreros.
There's only two of them.
A bag full.
All right, well, that's the email section. Show at thefootballramble.com. Incorrect. Not a bag full of sombreros. There were only two sombreros.
I mean, that could fill a bag.
Marcus Speller only owns two sombreros.
Gave him away his presents.
I did give them away.
There you go. Man of the people.
Why didn't we get one? I want a sombrero. Make me head look bigger.
I gave them to Luke and Jim.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, let's talk about Manchester United. See you in a minute.
You're stagged all over, man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you going to say 1, 2, 3, Steve, and then we'll just reveal ourselves?
Oh, welcome back to the... Oh, excuse me, the Football Ramble Preview Show!
Aroused.
Sponsored by Bet365. Everton versus Manchester United. Solskjaer's subjects were convincingly beaten by Barcelona, of course. Now, you'll notice, maybe you didn't, that I failed to mention that I predicted Spurs would get past Man City, which I got right. Well, the reason why I sort of didn't say that was because after about 45 seconds of the Barcelona-Manchester United game, I WhatsApped the group saying,
you did.
I think Barcelona might be here for the taking.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. I was wrong on that
one.
Well,
for the first 5 minutes or so,
minute and a half.
Were.
Jim started off, by the way, earlier, before you got here, saying for the first 10 minutes. And I said, you having 10 minutes? And he went, all right, maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah.
You're now saying minute and a half.
Well, I have to hold my hands up. I tell you what, though, Rashford hit the bar. McTominay, if a bit of better control.
Yeah.
And I thought, it could have been interesting. And then obviously, it played out the way it did.
Scored his goal that he does.
Oh, David De Gea. Not Dave the Save. Mm.
Yeah, I feel with David De Gea, though, it was a thing that we often see. Like, it was almost like the concept of Messi made that squirm under him. It's like, oh, that seems tame for Messi. Oh, there it's gone.
Yeah. Loads of goalkeepers make errors these days. We covered this a few months ago.
Yeah.
Because they're asked to do a lot more. And he made that error where... Do you remember that? I forget the game was again.
It's a routine more. I mean, that save, was a... Yeah.
That
no matter how
was,
much sweeper-keeper stuff, he should have saved that.
Sure. But do you remember when he let one into the middle of his goal earlier this season?
Yes.
When he was sort of deceived by the
against
swan?
Arsenal.
I know, but that is kind of... They can happen. I wouldn't hold that against him too much, but that one is just... I think it's more that they started quite brightly. Then Messi scores. And really, again, they'd probably be disappointed that they let that one in. It was so obvious, putting him onto his left foot. I think Smalling or was it...
It's a key thing you can't do at that stage of the game against that kind of team.
Of course. So that goes in and they think, OK, well, same job. We've still got to score 2 goals.
Yeah.
And then De Gea does that and you think, oh, that just knocks the stuffing out of you.
And Coutinho's goal was obviously wonderful. So
what about his celebration?
Outside the box, was it?
Mugging off his own supporters, Coutinho. Yeah.
Yes.
Having been mugged off by them.
Doing the, as it's known as, the Mick McCarthy. But he's had a difficult time there, hasn't he? I'm not saying I've got too much sympathy for him, but he has had a difficult time.
Yeah, what a goal it was. One for the Liverpool fans.
It was a beauty. Can I put to the table and feel free for you guys to sort of shoot me down? Man United aren't really that good, are they?
No. Yeah, I know what you mean.
No, I think we wondered whether this might happen, but the feel-good factor is gone and the sort of nostalgia effect has worn off. And they look a little bit pedestrian again. They've started dropping points and being a bit flat. They were very uninspiring against West Ham. And, you know, other than that first, 1 minute and 12 seconds or whatever it turns out when you analyse the actual game, they were just second best all over the place. And of course they are. When you look at the fact they've got Chris Smalling and Phil Jones, who bafflingly is 27 years old, starting as their centre-back pairing.
And no, but Jim, the new manager bounce they got from Solskjaer, is it the greatest new manager bounce in the history of football?
It could well be, given that PSG
Jim,
result.
Marcus Rashford hitting the bar, 33 seconds in.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been glorious. How do you scored? You know, but anyway.
I'm not just talking about this game. I just mean generally.
No.
And I think the way that we have been led to believe through a lot of the media coverage because of the personality type of Solskjaer, who as a, he seems like a really nice guy and he's very pleased to be there. And clearly he's not Mourinho. You said there, Jim, saying earlier, I find quite interesting, and they're starting to drop points. They're on the worst run of form in 18 years.
Really?
They're on their worst run of form since 2001.
Wow.
And it's not really being talked about.
But they're still
in
contention for top 4.
They are.
And I think that's the thing, that big run of games that Solskjaer had. I mean, some...
So you're saying make the assessment at the end of the season then?
Well, I think so. Some are suggesting that since Solskjaer has been given the job permanently, the team has actually started to go backwards. Now, that dip in form would suggest. it is an interesting one because clearly Mourinho wasn't getting any kind of tune out of them. Solskjaer's come along and said, right, you guys with pace, make the most of that. Pogba, you are really good and you've won the World Cup, so up your game a bit. And that seems to have had the desired effect. But now when it comes to the real stuff, trying to qualify, for, get into the top four, which they still could do, then when they play Barcelona... Look, they lost 4-0 on aggregate against Barcelona. It could have been 4-1, 4-2. They didn't disgrace themselves in one set. But they're talking about the side
who... This match does not make or break their season at all.
No.
He had a very good run of teams to actually play.
And they've had injuries.
But, I mean, fundamentally, is this still a hangover of Jose Mourinho? Is this a hangover of...
Well, Ole admitted that they need a few years' hard work to get to the level of Barcelona.
That's the thing. They're not fishing in the waters that they... I'm not accusing Man United fans particularly of being deluded or whatever, but they're not fishing in the waters. They've been used to being to fishing. Yeah, but when they played West Ham and they beat them 2-1, two Paul Pogba penalties, could have easily lost that game. Yeah. They weren't very good. But they've got the players when it comes to playing against a team like West Ham, who've had an okay season, to get them through it. But the very idea that you can bring in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, give him a permanent deal, have no director of football above him, and expect to be able to compete against a team like Barcelona in the Champions League, which is the level that United want to be judged on by their own admission, with five, and if you include the players that come off the bench, six or seven players short of quality for different reasons. They are miles away.
Patchy
players. Miles away.
No, I don't think anyone's
and just very, very quickly, the final point I was going to make, and you said something there, that maybe we judge them at the end of the season. I'm absolutely cool with that. But I think it leaves them a decision to be made because they've got no guidance at the top of the club. And if they don't get in top four and they've got a summer with Solskjaer, they're going to have to probably throw a lot of money at a manager who may not be there long term with no director of football sat above him. I think it's worrying for them.
But that's also, that's part of the issue that they're having now, isn't it? It's mad to think that this is the sort of thing that applies to a club like Man United, but they are in that situation that a lot of teams end up in where the squad is a sort of like almost patchwork of players that have been brought into the club by different managers with different intentions, and it does all seem a little bit messy. So there is a lot of sort of gutting that needs to be done.
Certainly seemed a lot messy the other night.
Do you think Solskjaer's, I mean, is he like a holiday rep where you turn up on holiday and you think, oh, this guy's all right, he's telling us where to go and he's very friendly and he's really helping us out and he's actually enhancing our holiday. And then after a bit, he's like, oh, can I come with you? I'll have a drink with you. Like, well, we don't want that much.
Do you think it's mad? Do you think I'll put this to you in the stark facts then? So as of August of last year, United had spent £302 million, right?
Still can't compete.
Their lineup against Barcelona, De Gea, fine, had a bad night, fine, good player. Lindelof, Smalling, Jones, Young, McTominay, Fred, Pogba, Lingard, Rashford, Martial. £302 million
they
to be not
injuries.
Even in the same ballpark.
But I know what you mean.
Have had injuries.
The difference is, though, with Solskjaer, and I think the reason why it was actually, I would say it's a good appointment, is because the problem is David Moyes was out of his depth. David Moyes was out of his depth. Louis van Gaal, it's all about his depth, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? He wanted to, goodness knows what he wanted to do, but he wasn't the right man for the job it would end up. Mourinho is trying to mould the club like himself a bit and so on. Manchester United, because they had Ferguson for so long, they're still not sure. And people will think that they have an ethos and a philosophy and whatnot. And whether you want to go in for that or not, I don't know. But Solskjaer knows the club. But he is aware of what they want. He is aware of what the fans will demand, what is acceptable, what is expected, what is desired. And can he deliver that? Well, we'll only find out if he's there for a bit. If you bring in another manager, another manager, it might have the same effect as Van Gaal or somebody like that. And I think Solskjaer will sign players in which he think play, for whatever it's worth, the Man United.
I just think also that when Alex Ferguson had the team, he could afford to bring in players that were patchy, injury prone, like Michael Owen, for example.
And the rest of the
spine of the team could carry the these players.
Pete,
What's going on? It's rare I say what's going on. What is going on?
Man United are 11-4 to finish in the top four this season with Bet365. £10 returns, £37.50 including the stake. And Marcus, sorry, back to you.
Got
a bit confused.
Cheers, just wrestle it away from me.
Throw it over to Marcus.
Yeah, throw it to Marcus. Give it to Marcus.
Oh, baby. Oh,
what's
time
happening?
This time last week, I was a king.
I'm not mistaken, Peter. You're sitting over there now.
Marcus,
I'm over here.
Pete sat in your chair.
Did he actually?
Yeah.
I need to see the time codes.
I wonder what that squelch was.
He sat in your chair and he adjusted it.
Peter, yeah. I do know what you mean with old
Piss
Sir
off.
Alex.
Marcus.
But I think you're wrong.
Marcus.
And I think he was overrated.
I said to Pete, don't you dare adjust Marcus's chair. It's out of order. Do you know what Pete said? Fuck him.
Yeah, I bet he did.
That's what he said.
Absolute scumbag.
But just was extraordinary.
Before
was
we move on, though, how will Marco Silva set up his team against a better team?
Don't care.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll have more aggression than they did against Fulham. They lost to Fulham.
Yeah. Damning indictment.
Well, Andre Gomez has been banned for 3 matches for stamping on poor old Mitrovic last week, so good riddance for him.
Yeah,
for
that was a weird one, that, wasn't it?
This completely passed me by.
Yeah, no, it seemed really, really unnecessary at the time.
Of course, why would you stamp on Mitro? There we are. Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. Arsenal.
Arscry is back.
They put Watford to the sword, 1-0,
oh,
10
God.
Men Watford.
My God. I watched that game with Nigel Winterburn and I thought he was going to die. Like it was
what, of anger or worry?
Like, of just frustration. Like the end of the game was so telling. The end of the game was so telling because Aubameyang and a few other Arsenal players sort of dropped to the floor as if they thought they were down to 10 men and had like scraped this amazing victory. It was so bizarre. Arsenal away is the strangest beast I've known.
Can I just say, I mean, half hour on the train, isn't it, to Watford?
Yeah.
It's not even like, you're not going to Ostersund's.
And the big bad Troy Deeney is sent off there early on.
That was funny. I like Troy Deeney, but not against Arsenal. Yeah.
It's like a kind of sort of game show. Right, the bad news is, you're going to play away from home.
Yep.
Okay, well, we're not very good away from home. The good news is, it's half hour down the road,
yep,
and they're going to be down to 10 men. We'll scrape a 1-0.
Yeah. Which will be from a bizarre goal as well.
Yeah, we'll scrape a 1-0 in which the goalkeeper hits into one of our strikers and it goes in.
Not even 2-0.
No.
Yeah.
It was
worrying.
How was Nigel Winterburn?
He was the same as me and anyone else who cares about Arsenal. Frustrated by the performance and concerned that it will be a sign of what the other away games
will
be like.
None of that chutney didn't. Did you talk to him about that goal he scored against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge?
He's aware of it. He's seen it. He did it.
Yeah, I know, but didn't. Yeah,
Jim was too scared. It was like when Jim met Wenger. Were you nervous?
I didn't really know what to ask him, so I just asked him if he was enjoying the World Cup, and he just went, yes.
Were you nervous about Winters?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't nervous about meeting Wenger.
Big balls, Jim Campbell.
Jim
over there.
Are picking up Peter Jim today. Sorry,
yeah,
Jim.
You
sorry
are. You're not having my lunch money. It's not school now.
He's weighed up. He doesn't know which side to go for.
Mate, yeah. I'm just waiting for God for glory, you pricks.
Oh, I see.
Talk about Andros Townsend. That'll perk him up.
Palace are all but safe, 8 points above Cardiff.
I had a goddamn dream that Andros Townsend scored.
Wow.
That's how much this
what type
showing
of goal? And who was it against? Hang on, we could have missed it, Petey.
He put it in the running order while you're away.
Who was it against?
It was in the 18-yard box, yes. Right foot finish into the bottom right-hand corner.
Against?
I don't know who it was against.
Which stadium? That'll give us a clue.
I have not got a clue.
What colour were the Oppo wearing?
It was a dream stadium.
Sorry, Marcus. It didn't happen.
This could be... this one maybe for the betters.
Right
but
foot, bottom right-hand corner. This is how I salvage some kind
but
of.
But out of the games they've got, out of the games that Andros Townsend has got left to play,
Arsenal away.
Would you go?
Leicester away.
They're not playing Leicester away.
That's probably not going to happen.
That was, as I said, it was my dream.
Arsenal away, Everton at home, Cardiff away, Bournemouth at home. What do you think we should? What did you dream? What was your premonition?
I think Everton at home is the one.
No, because that's this week. You're just trying.
No. This week's Arsenal. Yeah, knobhead.
Okay, so Bournemouth home.
Last day of the season.
Last day, last bin.
Last game of the season.
Imagine if it happens, Pete. Premonition. You could get a whole career. You'd be like Mystic
right
Meg.
Right foot, bottom right.
Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you what. I mean,
offside, no VAR to cancel it out.
Bournemouth will be absolutely safe by then and possibly on the beach. And Townsend thrives in that sort of situation.
Andros Townsend is... Is 7-2 to score at any time against Arsenal with Bet365. For £10 returns, £45 including stake. If he scores his fifth, what's the jeopardy here?
I get to punch Pete in the face twice.
Oh.
Is that right?
But I won't do it, though.
What do I win, then?
No, I get
Sombrero?
To kiss Pete. No, I've given them away, mate.
Yeah, those sombreros, mate.
Oh, we'll sort something out.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I'm a little concerned about this game because of the pace of Zaha and the decision making of Squadron Mustafi.
who bafflingly is how old?
He's what, 27, 28?
Yeah, for some reason I thought he was about 35.
Zaha will cause trouble, but I get the feeling if he doesn't score, he's not involved in a goal scoring opportunity at any point, he gets really frustrated.
It's at home. Palace
will get a penalty, won't they?
27, and he was born in Bad Hersfeld.
Hersfeld. Draw your own conclusion.
There we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our best bet from Bet365.
Step on down, Kevin Raitt, who says, "Hi, chaps. Following the Omni shambles last week, I would like to throw my hat into the ring." after last night's Champions League, which is one of the greatest games I've ever seen, I think that Spurs Man City Mark III has potential for a belter. Spurs will be giddy after mugging off Man City. City now have a sole focus on the league. I think Spurs are going to be punished by the squad depth of City. So I'm going to, from City to win by two or more goals, guys. Mm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think it's fair.
At 8-11. What do you think?
Yeah, I think yeah. Man City win the game. Like I say, I think Man City, it might be Burnley away where they'll mess up.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that is our best bet of Bet365. £50 on that returns £86.36 at 8-11. With all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK, 18+, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to begambleaware.org. That's Kevin Raitt. Picking over the bones of the set two games between Spurs and Man City already, thinking Man City are going to win by two or more goals against Spurs.
Go on, Kev. Right, go for goals! So, the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high, we're all going for gold. Yes!
Marcus, you must be wanting to come back with a bullet.
Do you know what? I was listening to Luke's game last week, and I have to say, gentlemen, I feel for you because I didn't do any better than you guys did.
Yeah. Marcus, it was a really tough one. I thought.
Tommy, Abby Obi, who knows who he's playing?
Tommy.
Yeah. The fact he doesn't know his name. You've stuck two together to make a super footballer.
I said to Pete that they'll have played for Newcastle at some point. To be fair, Tommy Abby Obi stopped playing for Newcastle when he was about 13.
Yeah,
not hugely helpful.
No.
Ben Seater has come up with the close to this one. Thank you, Ben. I was born in the 28th... Wait, let me start again. Born on the 28th of November, 1988.
Stop. Chicharito.
Incorrect.
Ooh, I thought he was going to give it then. He had like a half second pause when he was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like when I got Nigel Martin after one clue back in Bristol that time.
Jim got Pierluigi Casiraghi once.
Yeah.
Before the game had even begun.
Jimmy Traore. Right.
Yeah.
I currently ply my trade in Melbourne, Australia.
Well, okay, so he's only 30. He's playing back in Melbourne.
Melbs.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the level. Very much the level. I have played a total of 202 games in my club career for 10 goals.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Not really much for me here.
Yeah, it's not much to chew over, is there?
Nelly Yoa.
Incorrect.
It'll over the Twitter DMs.
DMing. I made two appearances for the Belgian national team.
Ooh.
I moved to England, Stoke City, for £100,000 in 2007, where I made zero appearances before joining Manchester United.
What, really?
Really?
Okay, then he's got to be. I know what position he plays.
You know what position he plays?
I think so, yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not telling you, though.
Why not? We share the fact.
Nah.
We share the play.
Nah.
Why not?
Nah.
Give us a... He's, all right, I'll give
the reason not ask, is in case you win.
Ask
Marcus,
me again, why not?
That out.
Ask me again, why not?
He's played for Belgium.
Ask me why not.
No.
Nah.
Two more clues.
Two more? Yeah. Bloody hell, we haven't known anything about
is
the
one
fucking
of them
guy
his
yet.
First name?
I know.
It wants to be.
I achieved the unique feat of winning both a Premier League title and being promoted from the Championship in the same season.
Oh, man. That is... I remember this happening. Ah. I literally remember this happening. It was about. It was the last time United won it.
Yeah, he was one of the defenders, wasn't he?
I'm not... Marcus.
Nah.
Oh.
Last clue, let's do it.
Last clue. I made my name at Leicester City, where I made 115 of my 202 club appearances. Leicester City, promoted from the Championship and a Premier League title in the same season. Played for Manchester United.
He did.
Thank you.
God, I don't know.
Stop. No, I was going to say Danny Simpson. Ridiculous.
Seven. Six.
Can I? No, I can't because that's wrong as well. Come on, Jim! Come on, Jim!
Shut up.
Enzo Schifo, Jim.
I'm resetting the clock to four.
Yeah. I don't know.
Ben Seater and Pete Donaldson get the points. It's Richie DeLatte.
DeLatte. Oh. Richie fucking DeLatte. And the time is right. It's time for you. Defender, like you said. People are coming. Everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for going for gold.
Don't people call him? I thought
DeLatte, I think.
DeLatte.
I thought it was a keeper anyway.
I would have never got that.
True, yeah, 10 goals.
No, hell of an accolade, though.
I genuinely remember that happening. Yeah. I remember it happening.
Well, if you were screaming at your radio/surround sound system.
Or you were screaming at your car radio because you've taken this show and you've burned it onto a CD and put it in your car.
or your smart speaker.
Some people can do that.
Exactly. Or maybe some disc that's been shot into space in the future.
Yeah. Yes.
Hello, future ambitious aliens. This is what we sound like.
Yeah.
Burp.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Absolute pleasure being back. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, PED.
See you later.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, babe.
Thank you, the listeners. We'll see you on Monday.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Strangers in the Night. Bollocks, I'm rusty. I'm
holiday.
Rusty. I'm
He's
rusty.
Still on holiday.
He's on the
holiday,
beach.
Holiday. 3, 2, 1, go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.